On Sunday, March 19th, 1944, Germany forcefully occupied Hungary to prevent the country from making a separate peace arrangement with the Soviet Union. Within 2 days, German authorities forced all Jewish businesses to close, sending hundreds to internment camps. On March 20th, the Battle of Sangshak began in Manipur, India, while U.S. Marines landed on Imarau as part of Operation Cartwheel. The next day, they linked with Australian troops in New Guinea's Huon Peninsula. On Wednesday, March 22nd, the U.S. OSS began Operation Guinea 2, intending to cut German lines of communication in Italy, but once again failed when the team landed in the wrong place and were captured. Volcanic rock of all sizes from Mount Vesuvius began raining down from the sky, forcing massive evacuations. German soldiers killed several civilians in Montaldo, Italy, who were part of an Italian resistance group. The next day, the group planted a bomb, killing 33 SS members in Rome. The Nazis swiftly retaliated, killing 335 people accused of helping the cause. Meanwhile, Allied forces withdrew from Monte Cassino, and the offensive was called off in favor of Operation Strangle, a series of air maneuvers aimed to cut German supplies from the Italian front. That Friday, March 24th, 1944, the Mutual Broadcasting System broadcast a special recording made by Marine Technical Sergeants Fred Welker and Keen Hepburn. During the early part of the war, Dr. Harold Spivak, Chief of the Music Division of the Library of Congress, and Brigadier General Robert Denig, wartime Director of Marine Corps Public Information, formulated a plan to give a few Marines recording devices to take into the field so the public at large would understand what these men were experiencing. Recordings began in late 1943.
During the next 15 minutes, you will hear a remarkable transcribed documentary broadcast, recorded by Marine Combat Correspondent Technical Sergeant Fred Welker of Newcastle, Pennsylvania, and Engineer Technical Sergeant Keen Hepburn of Washington, D.C. The recording was made right after the Marines swarmed ashore on one of the Marshall Island atolls. This recording is remarkable not because the microphone has captured the furious sound of battle, but because it portrays, as no dramatic production could, the change that comes over man after 24 hours of battle. We have titled this broadcast, A Night in a Foxhole, and we are indebted to the Public Relations Office of the Marine Corps for making the recorded material available. It has been said by some observers that war does not perceptibly change a man. Others say it does. I think it does, and I say that because I saw boys change into men at Salerno in Italy. They went ashore and into battle as young, high-spirited boys. They came out much older, although they might not admit it. Before battle, their faces reflected a normal innocence. After battle, lines creased through their cheeks from their eyes to their jawbone. Psychological and physical reactions do a lot to man or boy. We believe you will feel the change made in Technical Sergeant Fred Welker of the Marines when you listen to his recording made in the Marshals. When Walker first begins to speak, it is shortly after he has scrambled ashore with the assault troops. As the Jap bullets and mortar shells whine and explode about him, he speaks into a microphone with a sort of carefree innocence, a typical young American experiencing real war for the first time. In his opening remarks, Sergeant Welker states that he is scared, but the fact is not apparent in his voice. The nervous tension, the excitement, his physical condition keep him emotionally in balance. Listen.
Can you hear that sound? Those, my friends, are bullets.
Just landed here about 15 minutes ago, and I don't know whether I sound scared or not, but I am. I don't know whether you can hear any rifles popping or not, but there's rifles and just everything in the book is going off around this joint. Namur Island, down in the Kwajalein's, and boy, this is really a hot place. After the
naval bombardment and the aerial bombardment and all the bombardments together, we thought we'd be able to walk in here without, finding such a hot reception. However, with the trees just about popped, that is, all the coconut palms are all, had their tops all blown off of them, while we still have Japs, and I mean there's plenty Japs. This hole was stuck into a hole, a crater, made by a 14-inch shell. Yeah, there's a Japanese helmet the guy just pulled out of where he was going to sit down, and brother, is it flattened out. That's one of the Rover boys. Place over and see him back later. It's not hard to figure out that these men, 150,000, that is 150,000 Japs on this island before they came in, that is, they didn't actually know. However, they bombarded the thing just as though there were 150,000 in here, covering as near as possible every foot, every square inch of these islands. And that's why there have been so few casualties. did you hear that? I don't know. These shells just keep coming over here, boy, and they come awfully close, awfully close. The Marines have landed. The situation is not in hand yet. However, we have hope. They have two small islands on either side of the entrance to the harbor. Those have been secured. That is, by secured, we mean that they have been taken. The American flag has been raised. Artillery has been placed there on, and we're shooting at places that need shooting at on this island. That is, place where we find the stiffest resistance. Another one of those big noises. Those things go up, and one went off so close a while ago. Boy, that was terrific. It really went off. We thought the whole sky had blown down on top of us. Right on the old ball here. They've got all their equipment, and they're running to their places. Everyone knows just exactly where they should go. You wouldn't imagine it would be possible for all the men who are piling out of these boats to know just what the score was, and yet they're all seem to fall into a pattern which has already been made out some time ago. That's why these men have spent so many hours in skull practice aboard ship, that when they hit this beach, they knew every inch of it, although none of them had ever seen this beach before. In fact, none of them had ever been out in the Pacific before. And the Marines have started their forward wave now. There they go, they're going forward. That's a continual wave. They're going into a lot of fire, but they're going in. They're not stopping for anything. Who? A chicken? Where? Well, I'll be doggone. This island, you wouldn't believe that a thing could be living on it, and here is a chicken. Just came over the hill. Right down in our shell hole, very nonchalantly pecking and scratching around in the sand. Not singed a bit. I don't know how that ever happened. That is good, isn't it, huh? That's very good. And all the troops who were stealing very, very cautiously forward are all getting a big laugh out of it now. I mean, they're all pointing at it and getting a big bang out of it, all the men. It seems to me I read about something like that happening at another battle not long ago where the men were under stress and... Wasn't that terrible? I think it was. It was a tower where the men were almost at the breaking point. I mean, the Japs had them in a terrible crossfire and they were on a pier and then a chicken walked out and right across the line of fire and everybody laughed and broke the spell, yeah. And so I think maybe someone puts these chickens up here. Maybe that's the USO or something of the sort. Because a good laugh now and then helps a lot, and especially here where everybody is under a strain, more or less.
a little further now, as you can probably hear. And the shaft of a embankment over here is a concrete abutment of some sort. And they're set up behind that in a pretty nice manner. However, our boys are going to get them out somehow. There they go. That's the bazookas. Those bazookas are really getting in line now. They're going to blast them out of there, concrete and all. Our boys are running across. I haven't seen any of them come back yet. There have been a few casualties come back, but other than that, they're going straight ahead. Another bazooka let loose. Tanks are getting into position, too, in several places. Just a little further now. You can hear that bleed just a little plainer. Being a rapid exchange over there with our boys putting out a little more than they're taking. In fact, they're putting out a lot more than they're taking. We're going to have to change our position a little because bird was firing right over our head. Just missed the strafing attack. Planes are coming down now. There are a few men that we can't get edged around to pick them out, so the planes are doing a good job for us. They're coming in and doing some strafing to help the boys up front. And there goes another one of the bazookas. Every time we run across something that's a little too hard for us to pick out, where the back of the emplacements that are rough, they throw those sour bazookas in there, and boy, that really takes care of them. I've seen three places now where they've dusted them out of there. It was almost impenetrable as far as rifle fire and machine gun fire were concerned. What are you back for now? Hey, Butch. Can you come over here just a minute? Where were you?
Oh, about 125 yards up.
About 125 yards up. And how far are the boys from here? About 200?
Something like that.
How are they doing? Huh?
Well, so far they're doing pretty good. You can't see them though.
You can't see them, huh? What are they behind? Are they using trees? Concrete abutments, huh?
They dug down the holes.
Oh, they dug down the holes, huh? Well, are they using the bazookas up there to knock them out?
They're so loaded, so they could die up there.
Yeah, I'll bet. Oh, boy, are there many of them getting clipped? Many casualties?
I didn't see many.
You didn't see many? And how about those Japs? Quite a few on the
other side. There's quite a few.
Not a lot of them. That's a good
soap. What's your name? Father J.J. Murphy.
Murphy?
Yeah.
You're not Irish, are you?
That's it.
Where are you from?
Jersey City.
Jersey City?
That's right.
Murphy from Jersey City. Where in Jersey City?
Right on Duncan Avenue, 312 Jersey City.
312, huh? Duncan Avenue, Jersey City.
That's right.
Well, you look pretty well spent. What'd you do, come back for ammunition?
I come back to see if I get my CT. Go up and get my other man and find where they are.
What's your rate?
Private.
Private?
That's right.
You're communications personnel, huh?
No, 50 caliber.
Oh, 50 caliber?
That's right.
Oh, you're coming back to the command post.
That's right.
What, a battalion command post?
That's right, battalion.
Well, this is it right here. Did you know it?
No, I didn't know.
Well, this is it. This hole in the ground is the DP. Right over there.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Machine guns have been going like this all morning. In fact, they went on all night. My teeth are chattering so bad I can hardly talk. It's awfully cold. That is, it's cold because it rained all night. And we've been sitting in it. And we got very little, if any, sleep. The orders were given that we all dig in our foxholes close together. Well, there goes tracer fire right over us now. The boys are all pretty, pretty cold and damp through.
This has really been something. These Japs have been in, tied themselves to what's left of these trees. They're only a few trees, but, well, I think they've shot a Jap out of every one of them. And then the concrete pillboxes that they had around here were really something. In thickness, these things were built for eternity by the looks of things. But they weren't built with the idea of taking 14, 16-inch shells and 2,000-pound bombs. And that's what they got. There's a little duel going on between machine guns now.
This should be the day that we clean this island up.
The Marines, the 5th Amphibious Corps, did clean up the island that day, and there was rest for all. But Sergeant Welker and Sergeant Hepburn, like the others, had changed. They no longer were the carefree young men they had been 24 hours before. WOR's War Services and News Division has presented this transcribed broadcast in cooperation with the United States Marine Corps, whose combat correspondent made these recordings during the invasion of the Marshall Islands. WOR will present other documentary broadcasts of this type as soon as the material is available. Dave Driscoll speaking.